Miserable comfort. That's our topic today on Chapter and Verse. We'll begin with this from Mike McIntosh.
You know, a text out of context is nothing but a pretext. You always need the context. And the context here was, yeah, you're given some truth, but it doesn't apply here. God does love this man, and God is using this man to prove your heart and for generations to come to prove the hearts of many people, to show them just because you've had a setback, a failure, or there's pain or suffering in your life does not mean that you're a bad person or necessarily that you've sinned. God's just developing your character.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
This is CNB, where we're studying the Old Testament book of Job. In the 11th chapter, we come to a section of this book that sheds light on the wrong way to support someone who's suffering. Miserable comfort. That's our topic today on Chapter and Verse. So now let's listen as Mike McIntosh leads us in our lesson today on CNB.
We're back to Job. Job, as you saw last week, had one of his friends. He has these three friends, Bildad the Shuhite, little short guy, Zophar, and his other buddy that always caused him some problems and were negative to him about his problems. And as we've studied the last four Wednesday nights, he was accused of being a sinful man or problems wouldn't come into his life. And he would answer everybody very graciously, but it wasn't because he was a sinful man. And the story of Job tells us that pain and suffering comes the way of the believer. And it's one of the ways to purify the heart of a believer. Job's really the answer to all that, because here's this man that was a righteous man in the eyes of God, who even said to Satan, "Have you considered my righteous servant, Job?" That's a cool thing for him to say about somebody. I don't know if he'd say it about me, "Have you considered my righteous servant, Mike?" But he said that about Job. And now his three friends, his best friends, come along and say, "Well, if you really knew God, you wouldn't have lost your 10 children on that day. You know, if you really love God, the Chaldeans wouldn't have come down and swept up all of your employees and taken all of your assets away from you. If you were really a righteous man, these things don't happen to good people." Well, that's a lie. And so we're going to look at chapter 11, where Zophar is going to come along and respond to what we studied last week from Job. And all through it are these nuggets. Now, again, accusations are going to come. But in the midst of accusation is some truth. And you can see truth in negative. But God is the God of truth. The Spirit of truth will come and lead us, the book of John says, and guide us into all truth. And the Holy Ghost, Jesus told his disciples, will speak of things from heaven, of what the Father and the Son are talking about. He's here to reveal them to us. So then we move over to chapter 11, and from chapter 12, and Job is going to answer Zophar. So far, Zophar has only spoken once, but Job is going to speak again. And they all get their day in the sun to beat up Job. And I think you've all been there sometime when things were not going well for you and the people you wanted to lean on weren't there for you. It hurts. It's painful. Maybe it's when you were a kid and your mom and dad got a divorce and the strength of the family was broken. Or maybe in high school, your best friend dated your girlfriend or your boyfriend behind your back and you felt such great betrayal. But we've all experienced that when we needed people to comfort us and to love us and to speak positive things, the last thing we want is that when we're down and out, that somebody comes along and pours some vinegar in the wound, you know, or says, "Well, you know, they're absolutely right. Everything about you, you're a stupid idiot. I'm only your friend because you have a lot of money." Or, you know, we don't need people at that time. That's when we find out who our real friends are. So now let's look at Zophar's attack on his brother Job, on his friend. And let's find the truth of what he says, because he does have some truth to say, but it's out of context. You know, a text out of context is nothing but a pretext. You always need the context. And the context here was, yeah, you're given some truth, but it doesn't apply here. God does love this man, and God is using this man to prove your heart and for generations to come to prove the hearts of many people, to show them just because you've had a setback, a failure, or there's pain or suffering in your life does not mean that you're a bad person or necessarily that you've sinned. God's just developing your character. And your character is the most important thing for you. Develop that character as a godly character. Now, I know a lot of you are characters, but we're talking about godly character, all right? So Zophar the Naamathite answered Job, and he said this, "Should not the multitude of words be answered?" Otherwise, he's basically slapping him in the face and saying, "You've just been running off at the mouth for the last 22 verses, Job. And should a man full of talk be vindicated?" Really a fast talker. You know, a lot of words don't vindicate a person, but there is every right for a person to use as many words as they'd like to use. But this man is coming at Job in a very negative way, and really he's kind of pompous, I think, Zophar. He's lifting himself up when his friend needs to be lifted up. "Should your empty talk make men hold their peace? And when you mock, should no one rebuke you? For you have said, 'My doctrine is pure, and I am clean in your eyes.' But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against you." Now, who needs a friend like that to say, "I hope God levels you"? You don't need that kind of friend. And he knows his heart is right. What these three men don't know is that the Bible starts out in Job saying, every morning he gave a sacrifice to the Lord on behalf of his 10 children. Perhaps they had sinned or erred against him. Now, that's a pretty righteous guy to get up every day and make 10 sacrifices for those children. So this man is presuming that he knows somebody without really knowing his heart or ever hearing his prayer life before the Lord. "But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against you, that he would show you the secrets of wisdom, for they would double your prudence. Know therefore that God exacts from you less than your iniquity deserves." Now there's a truth. God distracts. Would you read that with me? "Know therefore that God exacts from you less than your iniquity deserves." Isn't that the truth, John? We deserve to be destroyed. We deserve for judgment to annihilate us for eternity. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would never perish but have everlasting life. "For God sent not his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But herein is the condemnation," Jesus said, "that men love darkness more than they love the light, and they won't come out into the light simply because their deeds are evil, lest they be reproved." They don't want to be reproved. And this is a truth. Even though he's being negative, this is why wisdom is necessary in our lives. Because you could be talking to your best friend, and if you're not listening carefully, he could be lying to you. And you're nodding your head, yes, all the way. You've got to be very careful. Wisdom from above, James 3:17. One of the greatest verses to know for the answers of every question in your life. Is this of God? Is this from God? Am I supposed to move here? Am I supposed to buy this car? Am I supposed to go to this school? Wisdom from above is first pure. Secondly, it's gentle. Thirdly, it's easy to be entreated. Fourthly, it's full of the fruits of righteousness without any hypocrisy. It's easy to be entreated. It's not jammed down your throat. It's pure and it's gentle. So wisdom says this guy's telling truth. This is truth. God has not exacted from us what he should. He should demand our lives. He should, but he doesn't. He demanded his Son's life instead. So that is a true statement when you think of that, that what we should pay for our sins is impossible, but God allowed his Son to pay the price for us. And he knew his Son's heart. Now think of this. His Son's heart was pure. His motivation was pure. And his heart was pure towards God, because a sacrifice that went to the altar had to be without spot or blemish. So there was no doubt in his heart that he was doing the right thing for you and he was doing the right thing before the Lord. He was pure, a pure sacrifice of love. So that is a truth, and you may want to remember that for your own self when you get a little bit proud. But he says, "Know therefore that God exacts from you less than your iniquity deserves." And that is true, and we thank God that he has spared us. Can you search out the deep things of God? Great question. Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? Good question, but if he's the Almighty, there probably are no limits. They are higher than heaven. What can you do? Deeper than hell. What can you know? Their measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he, God, passes by, imprisons and gathers to judgment then who can hinder him? Otherwise, if he just went down the street and started pointing people out and said, you're going to prison, nobody could stop God. It is interesting, the book of Ezekiel. In chapter 8, 9, and 10, the judgment of Israel is coming by the removal of the Holy Spirit. And one of the first things he does is he assigns Ezekiel to go to the inner sanctum of the holy place, and he finds a hole in the wall, which maintenance was down. So their attention was off. Every time I see maintenance down, I know that who's ever responsible, their attention span isn't thinking of things. Then he sent out these angels, and they had their ink wells, and they were to write down names of people, and they were going to put a mark on people. And whoever had the mark upon them was going to be judged. They could either live or not. And then the killing, devouring angel came in behind and found those without the mark from God. And it's the same thing here. God knows in this great city the wicked hearts, and he knows the good hearts. Now the world would say, if we were to go down to Island tonight, let's say we go over about 4th Street or 8th Street or something in Island, and we're down there past the ballpark, and we start seeing some homeless people, and they're on their cardboard curled up by the Carnation building. And we say, those are really bad people. Look how dirty they are. And I bet you we'll find just as many good-hearted people there as you'd find in any church in San Diego. Just because a person doesn't have adequate finances or the right clothes doesn't mean that they don't know God. I remember a police officer was telling me one night I went out for a ride along, and she said, you know, down here by SeaWorld, we have to go under the viaducts in the canals, going out to the river there, and we have to get the homeless people. They get under there, and the overpasses, and they build little communities. And so we do it just as daybreak is coming, so that they're still asleep, but there's not enough light for them, you know, to respond quickly. We come in, overpower them with our lights, and light up the area, and then individually, we light up whoever we're dealing with so we can watch their hands. And she was telling me how she went to this man and woke him up, told him to get up, and he started reaching underneath his pillow, and she said, don't reach for anything in that pillow, you're going to get shot. He said, well, I'm going to go with the officer, but if I have to go to jail, I want to take this book with me. She said, what is it? And says, the greatest book? This changed my life. And if God could help this man, he could help me. She said, well, let's see that book. Very slowly, and she brought it out, and it was my testimony. And he had accepted the Lord. He didn't know that she went to church here, that she knew me. He said, well, okay, how are you doing with the Lord? He says, I love him. I've got a long ways to go, but I pray every day, and I know he loves me. Now, if you need to take me to jail. He said, no, we're just moving you out of here. You don't have to go to jail. You just don't know who's under that overpass. You don't know who's down and out. Someday you could be down and out, and if people were to judge you, just because you look like you're down and out or you have a different color of skin, that's wrong. And so these guys are doing it to Job, but Job is saying, look, God can pass by and pick whoever he wants, and who's going to stop him? He's so powerful. For he knows deceitful men. He sees wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? For an empty-headed man will be wise when a wild donkey's colt is born a man. Now that's really deep thinking there, isn't it? If you would prepare your heart and stretch out your hands towards him, if iniquity were in your hand and you put it far away and would not let wickedness dwell in your tents, then surely you could lift up your face without spot. Yes, you could be steadfast and not fear, because you would forget your misery and remember it as waters that have passed away. And your life would be brighter than noonday. Though you were dark, you'd be like the morning. And you would be secure because there is hope. Yes, you would dig around you and take your rest in safety. You'd also lie down and no one would make you afraid. Yes, many would court your favor, but the eyes of the wicked will fail and they shall not escape. And their hope is loss of life. That's the ultimate hope for the wicked person. But he's talking as if Job is one of the wicked people, and he's not one of the wicked people. Chapter 12, Job now answers this dialogue with Zophar. No doubt you are the people, and wisdom will die with you. Yeah, you're talking about yourself, aren't you? Yeah, wisdom's going to die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Indeed, who does not know such things as these? Now, I think this is a good positive note for some of you. Because a lot of people grow up being belittled by an overbearing mother or father or a big sister, big brother. And they grow up and go through life through high school and college and get married, and they never speak what's on their mind. They're afraid to say, that's not right. You're not saying the truth. And this is good that Job does this. He says, I'm not inferior to you. And there are probably people in all of our lives that we need to, in a gentle tone, turn around and say, you're talking down to me right now. And I'm telling you, I'm not inferior to you. And you say, well, I could never do that. I'd probably have a heart attack. It might be good for you to have a heart attack. You need to break through that people don't have a right to belittle you and talk you down. The next thing he says I thought was cool. Indeed, who does not know such things as these? You're not telling me anything new. Everybody knows these things. He said, I am one mocked by his friends. So he's putting it back on them. You guys are mocking me. You should be helping me. Who called on God and he answered him. I called on God. You don't know that. And God answered me. The just and blameless who is ridiculed. A lamp is despised in the thought of one who is at ease. It is made ready for those whose feet slip. Now remember Psalm 119? The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that's what he's saying to a person that's casual. And you know how to walk from your driveway to your front porch. You may not need a light. But to people who slip and stumble and don't know the way, they need a light. And he's saying that, you know what? You're not liking what God has to say here about suffering and about pain. The tents of robbers prosper, and those who provoke God are secure. In what God provides by his hand. Now, isn't that the truth in today's war in the Middle East? The tents of robbers prosper, and those who provoke God are secure. But now ask the beast. Go to the animal kingdom. Ask the beast, and they'll teach you. And the birds of the air, and they will speak to you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you. And the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? You see, Job was a spiritually mature man. And he knew that it was the hand of the Lord that allowed this tragedy into his life. Remember, it was Job's wife who said, why don't you just curse God and die? A lot of people around us don't understand what God is doing in us. And we need to be sensitive to that. And we need to be sensitive to other people that we don't always know what God is doing in their life. But he said, you can talk to the earth. How do you talk to the earth and get an answer? But remember when Jesus came in and his disciples were crying out, Hosanna in the highest? And they laid the palm branches down and they laid down their cloaks. And the Pharisees, tell your disciples to stop. And Jesus said, if they were to stop, these rocks would sing out and praise me. There is scientific research that rocks do retain sound. Now, it's interesting that Joshua said, this rock shall be a witness against you. Now, imagine those people that they were doing some sin and didn't think anybody heard them, and God just gets somebody, angel, to bring him the rock and taps the rock twice, and it records the whole message. So he says, the earth, just talk to the earth. The earth is aware of what's going on here. Talk to the fish of the sea, and they'll explain it to you. Now, how do you talk to the fish of the sea? Just ask Flipper. You know that he's out there, and Shamu's out there, and they communicate. The fish in the sea communicate with each other. And how about this? The birds of the air, they'll tell you. And you know that birds talk. Minor birds talk. Parrots talk. All sorts of parrots. You heard of the lady who, her husband died and her depression set upon her, and the doctor said, you need a good friend. She said, well, my neighbor friend, I guess we've been friends, I'll hang out with her. And the good friend says, your depression's not leaving, you need a pet. So he goes down with, the lady goes down with her, and they're at the pet store and says, we need a kitty. Oh, we're all out of kitties, no kitties. How about a puppy? No, we're all out of puppies. What do you need it for? My friend's got depression. Her husband died last month. Oh, I got just the thing. She needs a companion. That's what we're looking for. Got a talking bird. This bird, phenomenal. Phenomenal. 3,000 word vocabulary. $4,000. You're kidding me. You can, $4,000 is nothing. Okay. She takes the bird home, has him there for a week, and the lady brings him back and says, I want my money back. Bird didn't say a word. He said, didn't say a word. They're supposed to talk immediately. Says, do you have one of those ladders in your cage there? He says, no. Let me sell you this $29 ladder. The ladder always works. Well, why? Birds need exercise. They go up and down the ladder, and all of a sudden they start singing. And once they start singing because they're feeling good, they start talking. Great. Comes back the next week and says, I got the ladder, bird up and down, never talked one word. No kidding. Do you have the swing? Well, what good's a swing? They get up and down the ladder, then they hop on the swing, and then when they start swinging, they'll start talking and singing all together. They need the exercise of the back and forth motion. That's $59.95. You take that? We'll take it. Comes back the third week and says, not a word. You're kidding me. Do you have the special mirror? What mirror? It's only $69.95. You hang the mirror in there. The bird goes up and down the ladder, jumps on the swing, sees itself as it's singing, and starts saying, pretty boy, pretty boy. And he'll start talking like crazy. Comes back the next week, says, here's the bird. He's dead. I want my money back. The bird's dead. Never talked once. He never talked once. Well, he did just before he died. What'd he say? Don't they sell any food down at that animal store? We know that animals talk, right? Poor example, but we know that they talk, right? So he's saying, go to the animal kingdom and go to the beast and they will teach you. But Job is saying, go to the beast, go to the animals, go to the water, go to them all. Just don't go weirdo to them. You know, you may not come back. Otherwise, Romans chapter 8 tells us that all of creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of glory. And God, the Lord, has created all of this, the Bible says, all of creation for us to enjoy, for his good pleasure, that you could enjoy it. And so Job is saying, you know all this negative you're coming down on me with? You could go to anything in the animal kingdom, and they would tell you, God is at work in my life. You are so blind. And so there are people that you love dearly. Many of you have parents or ex-roommates. There's people you love dearly. You just wish they would be born again and know Jesus Christ. And God is working, though you can't see it. If you'll pray for them, he'll do the rest. But he may not do it when you're watching. It may take you to get out of town. It may take you to die. But God will do it. And so don't ever come down on people when they really need you to lift them up and get them closer to the Lord. Job says any fool can see that God's at work. In whose hand is the life of every living thing? Verse 10. Is that amazing? In whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Does not the ear test words and the mouth taste its food? Wisdom is with aged men, and with length of days comes understanding. And with him are wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. If he breaks a thing down, it cannot be rebuilt. If God imprisons a man, there can be no release. If he withholds the water, they dry up. If he sends them out, they overwhelm the earth. With him are strength and prudence. The deceived and the deceiver are his. He leads counselors away plundered and makes fools of the judges. He loosens the bonds of kings and binds their waist with a belt. He leads princes away plundered and overthrows the mighty. He deprives the trusted ones of speech and takes away the discernment of the elders. He pours contempt on princes and disarms the mighty. He uncovers deep things out of darkness and brings the shadow of death to light. He makes nations great and destroys them. He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and guides them. He takes away the understanding of the chiefs of the people of the earth and makes them wander in a pathless wilderness. Does that not sound like the United Nations today? Nations are just wandering and they're helpless and hopeless. And as the Bible says, in the last days there'll be perilous times with men's hearts failing them. Literally, there'll be times with no way out. No way out.
At one time or another, we all have friends who go through difficult events in their lives. We'll learn more about the right and wrong way to comfort others next time on Chapter and Verse. If you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link and then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Job, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. Before we go, I'd like to take a moment to remind you the chapter and verse only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So we do appreciate you praying for this ministry. Then if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Miserable Comfort will be our topic again Wednesday on CNV, and you're invited to join us then. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.